All right. Well, I'm going to be addressing our graduates here. I'm looking for you all out there. I'm going to find you. So I'm going to be looking at you guys, but this is for all of us here today. But this is directed primarily to our ones who are graduating. And first of all, we want to congratulate you. You've reached a milestone, graduation. You've come a long ways, and I found something here that proves you've come a long ways. It says you were born wrinkled, bald, toothless, couldn't hardly see, crying, complaining, and you had no clothes on. You've come a long ways. Graduated high school. So we're going to pray. I do want to mention we've got a guest with us that came in. Do you remember Ronell and Celeste and Tommy? They have went to Spain. They're over in Spain. Ronell's sister is here with a brand new little baby, David, 3 weeks old. And so we're glad she came to visit church. Ronell said, go to church, and told where it was. So we're glad you're here today. And we prayed. I mentioned to her, we prayed for Venezuela today. Their families from Venezuela, they left because of political persecution a number of years ago. Her dad was a judge, and under that regime, you may remember Hugo Chavez. They came and relocated here to the state of Florida in Indiantown, and Ronell and Celeste, their paperwork just couldn't be put in order, so they couldn't go back to Venezuela. It's dangerous for them, and so they're relocated to Spain, and we are hoping for the day they'll come back to Indiantown. We miss them. So let's bow our heads and let's pray. We're going to talk to our graduates. This is a graduate recognition Sunday, but there's something here for all of us. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time that we could celebrate the achievements and the hard work of these young people and this milestone in their lives. And we pray, Lord, that you'd help them as they look out into their future. We pray, Lord, that each of them would have a heart to honor you in their lives and, Lord, to seek you and your will. Help us, Lord, as the church family, to hold them up in prayer, to always be vitally interested in their well-being, and to help them when we can and how we can. And Lord, please be with them. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I found this. I wanted to read. It may be interesting for you graduates. With you graduating from school, and Darren, you can add a few extra statistics to this. You've been in school for 2,160 days. You've spent about 12,960 hours in classes. I'm sure it felt like it, didn't it? And that would come out to about 777,600 minutes. If you're approximately 18 years of age, you've been here on this planet about 216 months, 936 weeks. You've probably, out of those hours, you've probably slept 52,500 hours. And maybe you've watched TV about 12,173, some more, some less, all right? And probably spent about 7,488 hours eating. Someone said mostly pizza. So we say, congratulations. Another word that is used is the word commencement. And I had to look it up because I wasn't real sure what the word commencement meant. I know Jethro on the Beverly Hillbillies would always say, we're commencing to do something. So that led me on, put me on the right track. But commencement means a beginning or a start. And it is. You're wrapping up one phase of your life and you're commencing. You're getting ready to start another phase of your life. We do want to congratulate you on your achievements, the hard work and the dedication, those who've played sports, those who've had academic honors. It's a lot of hard work, and we need to just to let you know we acknowledge that, and God bless you in that. And you've seen how that hard work has paid off and where it can take you in your life. Each of you who are graduating, you know, you'll remember these days and these times throughout your life. I can still think back on my high school graduation many years ago. But, you know, I'll bet your parents and your families are doing some remembering, too. Very likely they remember the day you were born. Maybe they're remembering your first loose tooth and the panic that that caused in the home. And they maybe are remembering that first day of school many, many years ago. If they're not remembering those things, they may be wondering why their hair has begun to show more gray. Craig, I was noticing that a little while ago. You know, as you know, they say it either turns gray or turns loose. Yes. You know, as young people move from those tween years, that's between youth and teenagers, they're establishing their identity and they're practicing their independence more and more, and that can get scary as parents, can it? I can remember our oldest son when we set him out in a car by himself to drive over to Stewart many years ago. And so, parents, you're probably remembering some things from your young person's life. Parents may be remembering, but I'm going to guess, graduates, that you're also thinking about what lies ahead in your life, what your future is going to look like, and what your future holds. The years ahead for you graduates are some of the most important years in your lives, because some of the decisions that you make in the days ahead, in the weeks and months ahead, are going to have a direct impact on what your life is going to look like, even when you get to be my age and some of our older folks here. So here's what I want to talk to you about today. In each of your Bibles, I wrote a little note, sat up in my office this week and wrote you a little note. And I also wrote a scripture, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. I'm going to read it in a little while. And that passage urges people to trust in God and to seek Him, knowing that as we do, He'll direct our paths, because we can't know it all. None of us knows what the future holds for our lives. I was thinking about this. If someone would have informed me when I was sitting where you all are sitting today, getting ready for my high school graduation, that I would one day pastor a church, I wouldn't have believed it. And I'm going to be honest with you, most of the people who knew me wouldn't have believed it either. But you know what? God is gracious, isn't He? God is merciful. And I will tell you this, you just don't know where you'll be. We don't know what tomorrow holds, but God does. And that's something that's important for us to remember. The road ahead, seniors, graduates, I want to be honest with you, is going to have some complexities as a part of the whole picture. There are going to be twists and turns that you could not anticipate. You know, we propose, but God disposes. We make plans, but God, He's got His own agenda. He's got His plans. He wants us to be on board with His agenda, and that's what's called doing His will, seeking His will. The good news is that you'll never have to handle those twists and turns that may come in your life alone, and that is a good thing to know. You know, I will tell you this as well. There will be times when you may actually wish for the days when things were easier and there were less responsibilities. In the days ahead, you may say, boy, I wish I could go back to where I could wake up in the morning and just eat Cocoa Puffs and wonder what cartoon I was going to watch, you know, for the rest of the morning. But I will tell you this, welcome to the world of being an adult. Welcome to the world of your parents. And it's a great world, but understand it's got responsibilities and important decisions and consequences to our decision making. So this message, if you conk out and go to sleep for the rest of the service today, here's the message: trust God with your future. Trust God with your future. Here's the verse I wanted to read for you, the passage. It's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all you do, excuse me, and he will show you which path to take. Now, as I wrote those verses in each of those Bibles this week, I got to looking around at Proverbs chapter 3, and I thought, boy, there's some more good stuff in there too. So this morning, I want to give some do's and don'ts, and I realize for some, I'm not going to be able to do much more preaching at you because you're going to be moving on, so this might be one of the last shots I get at throwing something out at you. Some do's and don'ts, and as I said, this is geared for our graduates today as you face a new chapter in your lives, but I would say, in fact, it's good for all of us no matter where we are in our journey. You know why? Because it's the Bible, because it's God's Word. So we're going to be in Proverbs 3, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on a whole bunch of verses, but I'm just going to briefly touch on some things, hoping that it will just sink in. And, you know, I recognize the role of parents is to bring our children up. The church is to come and put an exclamation point behind what parents are teaching their families, their children. That's the responsibility that God's given to us. Unfortunately, not everybody has that blessing of growing up in a home where they're taught truth from God. If you are, you grew up in a home like that, you should say, thank you, Lord. And hopefully you'll send those same truths on down the family line. So let's begin here, Proverbs 3. I'm going to read the verse and just briefly touch on some things, some do's and don'ts, all right? First of all, don't forget the things you learned from those who have loved you most. And that's those who have had your best interest on their hearts. That's your family. That's your parents, your grandparents. Those folks who are a part of your life that really care about you. And I'll say this, you know, you're going to be making your own decisions about the course of your life. And the world we live in, there are a whole lot of people saying a whole lot of things about what you ought to be doing. I'm going to encourage you to think back and remember what your mom and dad, your grandparents, and those folks who are part of your life that really cared about you, what they've got to say. Don't forget that. That is valuable. And here's what it says. I'm going to read the verses. My child, never forget the things I have taught you. Store my commands in your heart. If you do this, you will live many years, and your life will be satisfying. If you do, chances are you're going to live a longer and fuller life. Now, I'm just 61 years of age. I've got a lot to learn myself, but I've been around long enough to know that those folks who reject the good counsel of their mom and dad and the people that love them usually end up regretting that. I've seen it over and over again. So don't forget the things you've learned from those who've loved you. Verses 3 and 4, don't let loyalty and kindness slip away from your life. Loyalty, remember those who have been good to you throughout the course of your life, those who have shown you kindness, and keep this in mind. They didn't have to be kind, did they? They didn't have to pour into your life, but they did. So don't let loyalty and kindness slip away from us in our lives. And to think about kindness, Jesus said this about kindness. You can find it in Matthew 7, verse 12. Do to others whatever you would like them to do to you. Now that's pretty plain and straightforward, isn't it? Do unto others as you would like them to do unto you. It's called kindness. And we know that our God is a kind and loving God. And so don't let kindness and loyalty slip away from your life. In fact, it says, do write them deep within your heart. Make it a part of who you are, a core value. And where that circumstances and whatever is going on in the world doesn't change it because it's a part of who you are. That you remember those who have been good to you and that you, as you're able to show kindness to others. And here's what it says. You'll find favor with God and with people, and you'll earn a good reputation. And so that's good advice. Now, what we share there is not some kind of magic formula that will make everything roll your way, and neither will it keep you from experiencing your share of disappointment, hardship, and heartache. I think one of the tragedies of our culture is that somehow people have gotten the idea that life is supposed to be a cakewalk. And I'm afraid our resilience as people has been diminished because somehow we think everything should roll the way we want it to. And I mean, I am not an expert. I am not a psychologist or psychiatrist. But I have a sneaking suspicion, a hunch, that a lot of this outrageous violence against innocent people stems from somewhere, somebody thinking, I am aggrieved. Things have not turned out like I want them to turn out. And so I feel like I've got the right and the freedom to just do as much damage as I possibly can. And I think, to me, it points back to the fact that our culture, our nation, has cut loose of the boundaries that God has tried to establish for humanity, of well-being, for our flourishing, and we've just pitched them off, thinking we just don't need to pay much attention to it. But friends, we're seeing chaos, and I'm concerned that it can just develop even more. But we understand this, that this is not some kind of magic formula. And that's the thing about the book of Proverbs. As we've studied Proverbs in our Bible study through the years, we've done it twice now. I've taught a class on the whole Proverbs, went from Proverbs 1 to 31 all the way to the end. And it's not a magic formula. It's not you do this and this is going to happen every time. But it's generally speaking, if you operate in these ways, this is the outcome you can expect. And so loyalty and kindness, keep that deep within your heart. Verses 5 and 6, these are the verses that I wrote in the graduates' Bibles. Let me say this, do trust God completely. Don't rely solely on your understanding of things. We have been blessed with reason, the capacity to reason, to think deeply. We've been given common sense, but that can only go so far. There are situations that you will face, graduates, in life, decisions that you're going to make, that you'll be faced with, that you just really need to pray and ask God to give you some guidance on it. In the days ahead, and I don't want to get too specific, but it may be in relation to a future spouse, a husband or a wife, and praying about, is this the course that I should take? And I'm going to tell you something. Who you choose as a husband or a wife is one of life's most important decisions. Believe me, it's not something that you should toy around with or just operate solely on your own thinking, your own wisdom. Pray about it. Accept the counsel of people who genuinely care about you and your well-being. Mark it down. There is a lot of unhappiness that follows in those decisions that are not made well. So trust God completely. Don't rely on your own understanding. And part of that is be willing and humble enough to be corrected by God's word. If graduates, you are on a course of decision-making in your life and it all seems to be just rolling in the right direction, but you have a sense this is not what God wants in my life, be willing to let God's word correct your choices. You'll be glad you did. And then do go after his will in all that you do. In verse 6, it says this, seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. I'm going to tell you, some of the decisions you're going to be faced with are going to be challenging to you, and you're going to rack your brain wondering, what should I do about this? If you'll seek God's will and be willing to follow his will, you have a promise from God that says he'll give you some direction regarding that, and that's good to know. Verses 7 and 8, don't think that you know it all. You know, no matter how old you and I are, there's still a lot to learn in this life. Would you agree with that? There's always something you can learn. It does say this in this passage, verse 7. It says, instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Understand who God is. Honor him enough to where that very thing can cause you and I to say, you know what? That's not what God would want for my life. I'm going to do something different. Fear him enough so that you can turn away from evil. Verses 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce. Then he will fill your barns with grain and your vats will overflow with good wine. This thought, do give God your best. Don't just give him the leftovers. And you'll be glad you did. In your life, as you are blessed and the things that you can do and produce, take from the best from that and offer it to God to honor him. And you'll find that he will more than bless you in your life. Verses 11 and 12. My child, don't reject the Lord's discipline and don't be upset when he corrects you. For the Lord corrects those he loves, just as a father corrects a child in whom he delights. Graduates, don't resent God's correction in your life. Don't reject it. What it is an indication is that you are loved by God. You know, when our kids were growing up and neighborhood kids would come and play, I wouldn't let them beat the living daylights out of each other. But when it came down to some serious correction, I'd usually send them home. I'd tell them, you can't do that around here. You go home. And I've done that a few times. But you know what? If my children misbehave, I would correct them, and they would really be corrected. You know why? Because I loved them. And so it is that God loves us, and when we are facing discipline, the discipline of God, if God puts the brakes on some project or some direction that you have cooked up and you're not feeling peace about it or it's just not working, and you recognize, well, why is all this happening? And you come to realize this is God correcting me. This is God disciplining me in my life. Don't resent God for that, but thank him that he loves you enough to correct you. And sometimes that correction can keep you and I, remember I'm talking to all of us now, not just graduates, from just completely getting out in the weeds and making an absolute mess of our lives. So when God corrects us, don't resent it and don't reject it. And it's good to ask ourselves some questions sometimes. If we're moving in a direction that is not honoring to God and things are not working out and we're not at peace, maybe it's time to stop and say, God, is this what you want for my life? And if it's not, give me faith enough and strength enough to say no to it, to say yes to something else. And by the way, I didn't even have it in my notes, but I'm going to throw this in right now. You know, I used to tell our kids when they were growing up, I'd say, Scott, Andy, Ashley, when you say yes to something, it means you're saying no to something else. You understand that? When you say yes to something, a course of action, a decision, it often means it's saying no to something else. So think about your decisions and think about them thoroughly. Let's go on now. Don't reject the Lord's correction. I want to read here this verse to kind of follow up on that. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 10 and 11. Hebrews chapter 12. He says this, for our earthly fathers disciplined us for a few years. I like this phrase, doing the best they knew how. Did you ever feel like that as a parent? You're doing the best you can. And you think, boy, Lord, did I get that right? And I think that back now our kids are grown and they're growing their kids up. And I've told them, you know, each of them, I said, I realize with the benefit of a few years past that there are some things that mom and I could have done better. And I apologize for that. But we did the best we knew how. But you can know this, that we read this verse here. It says, but God's discipline is always good for us. Sometimes our parents miss it. Sometimes we have to tell our kids, I'm sorry, I didn't get it right with that. Just being honest with you. I love you, did the best we could. But God gets it right. And so when we are disciplined by God, to be humble enough, to be willing to accept his correction. Let me read here verse 11. No discipline is enjoyable while it is happening. It's painful. But afterward, there will be a peaceful harvest of right living for those who were trained in this way. So when we're moving in a wrong direction in our life and God drops the hammer and we recognize it's his correction, his discipline, we straighten up. My dad used to tell my brother and I, Straighten up and fly right, boy. And so we straighten up and we move in the right direction. You know what comes as a result of that? Peace in our lives. A peace that we didn't have very likely before. Verses 13 through 20, there's several verses there, and here's what the do is. Do go after wisdom in your life. It says in those verses, wisdom is more profitable than silver, it's better than gold, and it's more precious than rubies. Wisdom, facing life, making decisions, navigating through some of the complexities that life throws our way. God has given us access to some wisdom, but you know what? If we're not paying any attention to it, we're missing it. And I would challenge our graduates, as I look at each one of you out here today, to make it a point of being a person that goes after wisdom. Not just taking in what everybody else has to say, not just taking in what the popular culture's got to say about things, but understanding God is the source of all wisdom. And he offers us wisdom that is tried, tested, and true. You believe that? No matter what comes or goes, it's still good to be honest. Not always easy. In fact, it can get pretty complicated, can it? But at the end of the day, usually we say, I'm glad I was honest. To love and to show some of these very things we've talked about, to show kindness, at the end of the day, we'll be glad we did. I'm going to tell adults here, at the end of your lives, my life, when we're down to those final days, we're going to have wished that we were people of love and kindness. You can count on it. Just know it. So it makes sense to pay attention to that. Verses 21 through 26, don't lose sight of common sense and discernment. Let me read these verses. My child, don't lose sight of common sense and discernment. Hang on to them, for they will refresh your soul. They're like jewels on a necklace. They will keep you safe on your way. Your feet will not stumble. You can go to bed without fear. You will lie down and sleep soundly. Could read on there. Common sense and discernment. And, you know, they say, where does that kind of wisdom come from? Experience, right? Sometimes you have to learn things the hard way. But it makes a lot of sense for us to learn things from other people's experience, wouldn't you say? Not to have to go through every disaster ourselves, but to have enough common sense and discernment to say, I see where that ends up. I see where that's going to lead to. I'm going to move in a different direction. Verses 27 and 28 of Proverbs 3. Do not withhold good from those who deserve it when it's in your power to help them. If you can help your neighbor now, don't say, come back tomorrow and then I'll help you. What this speaks to is an attitude and a heart of being a giver. You've heard it said, in this world are givers and takers. And there's a lot of folks who are takers. And they're not interested in being givers. But this is some wisdom from God, to be a giver. I've told you the story before. Deb and I were traveling in southern Georgia, driving around. We were hungry. I saw a barbecue smoker. Immediately got my attention once I saw smoke coming out of the top of that thing. That's where I wanted to go. And we pulled up, and a guy came out in his overalls, and I said, sir, are you selling barbecue? And he said, no. He said, sorry, I'm not. He said, I'm doing this, I'm catering an event. But then he continued to walk over to his smoker, and he opened it up, took out his pocket knife out of his pocket. He said, I don't cut my toenails with this one. Made me feel a lot better. And he cut off two big chunks of smoked pork, put them on some aluminum foil, and handed them to Deb. I was reaching to get some money. He said, no. He said, I'm not going to take a penny. He said, if I can't help you, I won't hurt you. And I have remembered that, and I thought, you know, that is an attitude as we go through life. And let me just tell you, if you're a giver, you're going to get burned. If you're a giver, you're going to get taken advantage of. But I'm going to tell you something. It is better to go through life as a giver and to knock the dust off and to lick your wounds every now and then from getting burned than it is to just shut yourself down. And I want to tell our graduates, your life will be blessed, and you'll be a blessing to others if you have an attitude where I can, as I'm able, I'm going to be a giver. Now, you can't do it all. This church can't do it all. I got to tell people no when people ask sometimes for things. But we have a heart to say we want to try to help if we can. And there are abusers that have come through the doors of this church, and we've figured it out after a little while. But I tell you, we don't want to get to the place where we're looking at every single person with suspicion. That's a bad place to be. And there's some wisdom that God has given. And young folks, if you can get this into you, I want to be a giver. I want to help where I can. I recognize I can't do it all. I recognize I'm going to get scorched. And I recognize, I know it, but God's told me to be a giver, and that's what I want to be. And the next one here, I'm going to wrap it up here shortly. Don't be a troublemaker. Verses 29 and 30. Don't plot harm against your neighbor, for those who live nearby trust you. Don't pick a fight without reason when no one has done you harm. You know, there are folks in our world that just, they've got an attitude, they just want to cause trouble. Don't be that kind of person. Don't be a troublemaker. Go out into this world as someone who's going to build things up and contribute. Anybody can tear things apart, but it takes people of some character and resilience and a heart like God's heart to say, where I can and as I can, I want to help build something. And here's the last one I'm going to touch on. It says, verses 31 through 33, don't envy violent people or copy their ways. Such wicked people are detestable to the Lord, but he offers his friendship to the godly. Here's simply a don't. Don't envy bullies. People who push their way around and run roughshod over people, it's a shortcut to get what people want quickly. But it says this, don't envy that. Feel sorry for that. Because it says that God can't stand that kind of stuff. And let me just think about it now. When you and I, and I just observe this, I try to be a student of humanity. When you see a bully fall flat on their face, usually folks, they may not be saying it out loud, but they may be doing it behind. They're glad to see that go down. You know why? Because God is not for that kind of stuff. And so we may be tempted to bully, to envy the bully, to copy the bully, and to think, I can try some of that and get what I want. But understand this, that God can't stand it. Well, I'm going to just wrap this up this morning. As I got to looking through the chapter, Proverbs 3, I initially started with those verses 5 and 6, and what a challenge to our young people to trust in the Lord completely. Don't lean solely on your own understanding of things. It may be good, but it doesn't cover it all. And trust God. Seek what he would have you do, because he loves you more than anybody does. And you'll know this, that he will guide you in your paths. And we're going to be excited in the days ahead to see you come back with somebody on your arm. And we may even get to be here when some of you get married. And we may even get to see you bring your own little ones in your arms around. Those who've been here at this church long enough, you've seen it. And what a joy it is to see that. So graduates, I just want to encourage you as you move through your life to seek the Lord, to seek his ways, to understand that God loves you. He's provided forgiveness through Jesus, who died on the cross. And I certainly hope that each and every one of you who are graduates have trusted in his mercy and know his forgiveness. And you consider yourself a follower of Jesus Christ. If not, let me just tell you, as we tell you every single week, the Bible says it's not by our own efforts, our own good deeds, but it's trusting in the payment that's been made for us. Here's what the Bible says. Whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. That means all of our wrongs forgiven. That's good news. It's called the gospel. So if there's any question about that, graduates, certainly do not overlook that one. Let's all stand. We're going to have a time of prayer and ask Eva if you would play an invitation song for us. And I want to ask as we close out our time together today, if you would pray for these graduates. That's Caleb, that's Jasmine, that's Darren, that's Maggie, and Jean, who his mom informed me is at home asleep today. So he must have worked late last night. Well, let's pray and let's ask God for his blessing in these young people's lives. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the direction that it gives us. And we, Lord, thank you for these young people and for their families and for what they've achieved and the things that they've accomplished. Lord, we pray that you would help them in the days ahead as they make important decisions. Help them, Lord, to always consider and seek to honor you. And Lord, these other things that we've covered today, Lord, help these things to stick in all of our consciousness, our memory, as we go about living our lives. Help us, Lord, to seek your wisdom. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.